This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن المصدقين والمصدقات وأقرضوا الله قرضا حسنا يضاعف لهم ولهم أجر كريم والذين آمنوا بالله ورسله أولئك هم الصديقون والشهداء عند ربهم لهم أجرهم ونورهم والذين كفروا وكذبوا بآياتنا أولئك أصحاب الجحيم اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته brothers and sisters welcome I forgot what number lesson this is now 8 or 9 is it 9 yeah I think we've got a difference of opinion already. So we're continuing on in our tafsir of Surah Al-Hadid, and we have reached verse number 18, which begins, إِنَّ الْمُصَدِّقِينَ وَالْمُصَدِّقَاتِ Truly, those men and women who are charitable, وَأَقْرَضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسْنًا And they give Allah a goodly loan, يُضَاعَفُ لَهُمْ وَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ كَرِيمٌ That their rewards will be multiplied and for them will be a noble reward. May Allah make us from these people. So this verse begins the next section, the surah, section number 4, which is again about having true faith in Allah and spending one's money in Allah's cause. And the relationship between this section and the previous one is the previous one spoke about the munafiqoon and about how the believers also, they have a lack of khushu', humility and subservience in their heart towards Allah. And the reason that is the case is because they neglect to come forth with real, genuine faith and sacrifice their money for the sake of Allah. So that theme is now revisited again, which was already spoken about in section 3, now in section 2, now it's being spoken again in section number 4 as well. So again, about faith and spending one's money for the sake of Allah. Allah says, إِنَّ الْمُصَدِّقِينَ وَالْمُصَدِّقَاتِ Men and women were singled out. Yes, Allah never said, إِنَّ الْمُصَدِّقِينَ only. Allah said, إِنَّ الْمُصَدِّقِينَ وَالْمُصَدِّقَاتِ And one of the benefits behind singling out women that give charity as well is in order to highlight that Allah has a special love for women that give sadaqah. Because women, generally speaking, they do not earn money in the same way men earn money. Men are the ones who usually work and are the breadwinners, and they are the ones, therefore, that should have a more of a responsibility to give sadaqah, because they're the ones that have the most money. So if a woman gives sadaqah, when she has less than men, it becomes more valuable in the sight of Allah. Yes, that is one reason why they were separated and highlighted separately. Another thing is that the wealth of women is different to the wealth of men. Women, for example, a lot of their wealth may be tied up in the form of jewelry. Yes, even till today, a lot of the wealth that belongs to our mothers is in the form of gold, right? So when you see some of these charity appeals taking place, and a woman, you know, she phones up and she tells the imam on the TV that, you know what, I give my wedding gold away, yeah, for this cause. I mean, that's special, isn't it? To give away not just money, but the gold that was gifted to you by your own mother or by your husband the day you got married. Now you take that off and you say, you know what, I give this away for sadaqah. It happens. Yes, and so there, sadaqah has a different value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَقْرَضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Those who give a goodly loan for the sake of Allah. Now it seems as though there's a repetition. Allah first said those who, men and women who are charitable and give Allah a goodly loan, when both are speaking about giving away sadaqah, right? So is that repetition? Scholars, they say, firstly, it could be understood not as a repetition, but to mean that because these people are charitable, do they then go ahead and give Allah a goodly loan? A second interpretation is that it's speaking about innal musaddiqeen, people who give the fard sadaqah. What is the fard sadaqah? What is obligatory to give? Zakat. Illa al-musaddiqina wal-musaddiqat, men and women that discharge their obligatory duty by giving away the zakat. Wa aqradu Allah qardan hasana, therefore refers to giving away voluntary charity. Yes, that you're not obliged to, but you give that away because it is something extra you want to do to strive to get closer to Allah. يُضَاعَفُ لَهُمْ. Those people, Allah says, you will multiply the rewards. We've spoken about this, that Allah in another place, Surah Baqarah, described the donation of a believer being like a seed that is planted in the ground, and out comes out a plant which has 7 spikes, and on each spike there is a corn filled with 100 grains. As if to say that one donation will be transformed into 700 times that reward. Yes? So this is the reference to that once again. يُضَاعَفُ لَهُمْ وَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ كَرِيمٌ. They will have a noble reward. Yes, meaning that they will be given paradise in exchange for their donation that they gave for the sake of Allah. One of the lessons we learn from this is that in order for your charity to be acceptable in the eyes of Allah and to receive that multiplication, it must be given for Allah's sake, not for the sake of your own gratification. People do this sometimes, isn't it? They can be very charitable because it makes them feel good. Yes, there's a whole self-help psychology based on this idea that in order to be a better person, you need to give things away from your life. Okay, and the more you give and the more you do for others, the better you'll become as a person. Now, is there anything wrong with believing that? Is there anything wrong with having that ethos in your life that, you know what, to become a better human being, you need to give away things that you own, and you need to be in the service of other people. And the more you give away from your life, the happier and more content you will become. Anything wrong with that type of ethos? Hmm? Who said yes at the back? At the back, okay, one person thinks it's wrong. Everyone else is fine with it? It's a selfish act. SubhanAllah. Wow, that's very harsh, man.
There's nothing wrong with being charitable. What's your intention or the reasons why you're giving that charity away?
Okay, so what are the intentions of this person who says, look, in order to be a happy, because this is all about being happy, isn't it? Finding happiness in life. And one of the ways they claim to be happy in life is that you should give, be charitable, okay, and be in the service, do things for other people. And the more you do, the happier you'll become. What's wrong with that?
You're doing it for yourself.
Huh? You're doing it for yourself.
No, I mean, he got the gain that what he wanted is to be happy. So he's happy. So he doesn't expect it from the reward from Allah's
wife. So there's nothing wrong with it?
No, I mean, if he
does. You don't think there's anything wrong with it?
He wants to be happy. You
know? Yeah, he wants to be happy. Yes. Everyone wants to be happy. Last time I checked.
But he's happy. So he's not going to gain anything from Allah because he got 2 rewards.
Oh, very interesting. He said you can't get 2 rewards then, can you? If your motivation behind giving is in order to make yourself happy, then why do you expect to get another reward is in that Allah will be happy with you too? This is what the brother is saying. He's saying that you're doing it for your own self. It's not for the sake of Allah then, is it? It's for your own self. for your own gratification. Businesses, they have a policy to give, some businesses anyway, to give a charitable amount away from their profits. True or not? Why do they do that for? What business is it of a business to give charity?
Image.
Image. Very good. But explain a bit more. Image. What? Huh? Tax evasion. Yes. Okay. It's another one. Huh? Okay. Yes. Okay. To avoid giving more tax. Yeah. But you mentioned image. Explain.
To be more aware in the community that you're giving.
Yes. In order to boost your reputation, so that your business will perform better. So it's self-fulfilling. Yes, the only reason you're giving is that you get more in return. Isn't it? That's the thinking behind it.
So, social responsibility as well.
Social responsibility? Yes, I like to meet those people that make the policy. We think we should do good things for people. It may happen. I don't dispute that. But what we're learning here, وَأَقَرَضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Give a goodly loan to who? To Allah. So your motivation is Allah, not yourself. You may feel better as a consequence of giving money away, and that's very strange, isn't it? But that's the reality. But that's just a token of Allah's mercy. Look, you did something for me, and one of the things that will enable that happens in your life is that you feel better and more content and happy as a human being. And that's fine. Think of that as a piece of the reward of Allah. But don't make that your motivation, your goal. Yes? The other interpretation of this verse is another qira'ah, another reading. Whereas this one is, if you listen carefully, if you can spot it, innal musaddiqina. The other recitation is innal musaddiqina. Do you hear the difference? I'll say it again. Innal musaddiqina versus innal musaddiqina. Did you hear a difference there? Huh? Which one is stronger, the first or second? The first one. The first one has an extra shadda on the saad. Innal musaddiqina. The second one, innal musaddiqina. Now, it's not just about the way it sounds. There's a difference in meaning as well. The second interpretation isn't about being charitable. It's about being a person who is true in their faith. So the interpretation would be that those men and women who are true to Allah in their faith and give Allah a goodly loan, then for them there's a multiplication of the rewards and a noble reward. And that holds another lesson. The lesson in the second recital is that you have to show Allah you truly believe in Him by acting and showing Him through your limbs and your behavior. It's an impossibility to think that a person genuinely believes in a cause and he does nothing to offer in terms of action to prove it. If someone believed that there was a fire right now and that was going to harm him, he would get up and run and he would tell other people. But if he sat there and remained whilst the fire is in front of his eyes, you would say he doesn't believe that there's a fire, or you'd say he hasn't taken his medication, either one of the two, yeah? You get the idea that this is, and in the Quran, Allah always mentions either directly or through context iman and amilus salihat together. Wal asr innal insana lafi khusr illa ladina amanu wa amilus salihat. Belief and good deeds. Yes, bashir ladina amanu wa amilus salihat anna lahum jannatin tajri min tahtiha al-anhar. Allah says in Surah Baqarah, congratulations to those who believe and do righteous deeds. Why is that the case? In order to show us Muslims that you cannot offer lip service to Allah and claim that you believe and you don't show it. You don't show it. There must be a show of your faith. And in this verse, the show of faith is وَأَقْرَضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسْنًا, that they genuinely give their money out for the sake of Allah. We explained what it meant to give a qard hasan last time as well. You can look that up. All the recordings, by the way, are online or are going up on the Iman channel, YouTube channel, Iman channel, YouTube channel. So if you want to catch up, you can, inshallah. Then Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصِّدِّقُونَ. That those who have believed in Allah and the messengers, they are those who are الصِّدِّقُونَ. I'm not going to translate that right now, but I want you to think of this الصِّدِّق, the plural of which is الصِّدِّقُونَ, as a title, a medal of honor. Allah is saying this medal of being given the title of a Siddiq belongs to these type of people. Those who believed in Allah and His messengers, not His messenger. The surah now is almost beginning its invitation to Ahlul Kitab, Jews and the Christians, that they need to continue believing in Allah by now having faith in His next messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that's going to be given directly at the end. But now it's kind of being, you know, delivered to them subtly. If you do that, you will be from the Siddiqun. What does that mean, Siddiqun? Who do we know as a Siddiq? Huh? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Yes, we all know that he was given the title, the epithet of as-Siddiq. And Aisha, his daughter, radiallahu ta'ala, she told us the day he achieved that. Does anyone know what incident took place which resulted in him being given that badge of honor? What was it in the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ that happened? Huh? Who knows? Something miraculous happened. Yes. Yes, Isra'i wal Mi'raj. So the story goes that when the Prophet ﷺ returned from this journey, he started to tell people that in one night, he only told them half the story. In one night, I went from Mecca, the Kaaba, all the way to Jerusalem. Yes, Al-Quds in one night, which would take months in those times. So he's saying, I went in one night. And when Abu Jahl heard that, he saw that as a great opportunity to try and bully the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by saying, do you believe in a ridiculous claim like this? Is that what you believe? It's like what happens now, isn't it? People say, even till today, you know, I think, who was it? Was it Richard Hawkins? Yeah? Was it him? He said in an interview to, what's his name? Mahdi, yes. What's his first name? Mahdi Hassan, yes. In a debate, I think it was in Oxford University. His response to Mahdi was, do you believe that a man went on a winged horse to paradise? Is that what you believe? He said it. This is what he said to him. He tried to discredit him as being an irrational human being for having faith in a man who claimed to have gone from Mecca to Jerusalem in one night on Buraq, what he called the winged horse, which is incorrect. So, Abu Jahl, maybe those two had a conversation one day, I don't know. He went around and started to taunt the Muslims. When he came to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he said, do you believe this? Have you heard what your leader is saying? He's saying he went to Jerusalem in one night. What do you have to say about that? Imagine the microphone was there, you know, in the face of Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr's response was one of unshakable faith. He said that if he said that, then it is true. Actually, I believe in something even more amazing than that. I believe that he's received revelation from the heavens, from Allah that comes down to him. Talking about him going up, I believe that something comes down from the heavens to him. You know, and if someone was doing a hashtag, they would say, hashtag, how do you like me now? Yeah. It was like that confident. And Aisha said, فَلِذَٰلِكَ سُمِّيَا الصِّدِّيقِ. And that's the reason why he was called الصِّدِّيق. So الصِّدِّيق, it means to have unwavering faith in something. And Imam al-Qurtubi, he brought a statement from a man from the Salaf whose name is Qatada ibn Hayyan. Qatada ibn Hayyan said, As-Siddiqun are people who they never lapse in faith for even the blinking of an eye. Like, he gave some examples, like the mu'min min Ali Fir'aun, the believer from the family of Fir'aun. Have you heard about this man? Quran tells us that there was a man from the inner circle of Fir'aun who believed in Musa alayhi salam, but he kept his iman silent. He believed from the very first moment. He gave a second example. He said, the man from Surah Yasin. Who's the man from Surah Yasin? Huh? The man from Surah Yasin is the story of Ashab al-Qariya, people of the town. وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ. That man is a Siddiq, this man, this person is saying. And he also mentioned Abu Bakr as-Siddiq as another example as well. Yes. So the Ibn Jawzi, he breaks it down even more. He said, as-Siddiqun this is the more intense spelling of the word sadiq. Sadiq and siddiq. Now a sadiq means two things. It means someone who is a very honest person and someone who has unshakable faith in something. Yes, unshakable faith in something. A siddiq is a more intense spelling, meaning a person who is so honest and someone who has unshakable faith in something. Yes, and that makes sense when you think about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, isn't it? A man who was so honest himself and who believed with unshakable faith in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the benefits of Allah giving titles like as-Siddiq is in order to create aspiration in our minds. That we also think to ourselves, man, I wish I could earn that title before Allah. That I may be written down as a Siddiq from the Siddiqoon that Allah has granted this title. And the way to do it is in order for a person to try and achieve the heights of faith, the completion of his faith, to try and perfect the iman in his heart, and to try and make sure that his iman never shakes, to make sure that his iman never, you know, dwindles, but to maintain it and keep it strong. And if you did, then subhanAllah, Allah says in Surah An-Nisa, وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. In this verse, Allah says that there are four ranks of people in my eyes. And one after the other, Allah lists them. The first being the best, and the last being the last of them. Allah says that whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger, then they are those who Allah has favored from number one, and the Nabiyyin, the prophets, the highest. What's number two? Huh? Is it Shuhada or is it As-Siddiqeen or is it Salihin? Which one is number two? As-Siddiqeen is number two. That means that they rank higher than the martyrs, Ash-Shuhada. And the martyrs rank higher than As-Salihin, righteous people. Do you see how high the title of Siddiq is? It's even one grade higher than a martyr. And then Allah says, Wash-Shuhada, those who are less than them, those who fight and die on the battlefield for the sake of Allah, عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ. This can mean that both the Siddiqun and the Shuhada receive what? They receive, number one, that with Allah is their reward. And number two, they will have their own lights, their personal light. And we spoke about this before, that the light is that which will navigate you into paradise and yawm al-qiyamah. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Now the opposite is spoken about. If you're not going to be like that, then just realize that there are the other people on the other side. That they كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا. That they don't just disbelieve, but they belie the signs of Allah. أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَهِيمِ. They are the companions of the hellfire. Now what's the word for hellfire used here? Is it an-nar? أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ. Jahim is one of the names of the hellfire. And the word Jahim, from its root you get the word Jahim. Jahim refers to a fire that is aggressive, that is blazing. And from this, the Arabs have this statement. They say, Jahamatul Harb, that the most brutal part of the war, Jahamatul Harb is the most brutal part of the war, is when the most people died. Another derived word from the root of Jahim is Juhum. And Juhum or Juhum refers to the eyes of a lion or a wolf when it sets on its prey. Think about a lion when it's about to devour its prey. The look in its eyes is the same word used to describe Jahannam. As if to say that Jahannam is like a fire that wants to tear you apart. Allahul Musta'an. This is the way Allah described it. As if hellfire has eyes that looks at you in a way that says, I'm going to devour you. Nasallallahu salamat wa al-afiyah. May Allah protect us and our children. Allah says, those who disbelieve and those who belie our signs, then for them they will be the companions of that. And the word ashab is used in order to say that they were made for each other. Like friends were made for each other. They will, and another implication of reading Ashab is to say that they will stay with them. Just like friends always stick together as well. Look at the words used in the Quran. Ashab al-Jahim. And the final verse, Allah says, اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب وله وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد. Know and understand, Allah is saying, that the worldly life is nothing but four things. A game, number one. Number two, lahu, which means a distraction. Number three, beautification. Number four, and some say this is together, or it can be looked at separately, tafakhrun bainakum, is to boast with one another. Yes? To boast with one another and to try and outdo one another in money and in family. Yes? So Allah is telling us one of the reasons why people don't aspire to be from the Siddiqoon and from the Shuhada. Why is the reason that people don't aspire? Because they are obsessed with the worldly life. So Allah says, let me tell you about the worldly life. The thing that is holding you back. I'll describe it to you, Allah saying, اِعْلَمُوا نَوْ أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. This worldly life is nothing except the following. As if to say that your view of this world is incorrect. You don't have a proper estimation. I will give you the reality check on the world. And then Allah describes it. The first thing, it is la'ib. It is just a game, a play. Number two, lahu. Lahu is something which distracts you. Distracts you from what? Distracts you from something that is more important. Like someone who is sitting on the train. Actually, someone who's sitting in the departure lounge. Okay, he's waiting for his plane to take off. And he puts on his headphones and he starts playing a game on his phone. As many people do. And he gets so engrossed in his game that he doesn't realize the call has gone out for his gate like 1,000 times. And they said, last call, and he's missed it, and his plane's gone. Then he comes off his phone and he realizes his plane has flown already. That's lahu, meaning that the game was lahu. It distracted him from that which is more important, which was catching his flight. Or another example is when people on the day of the sale go shopping. And they're so consumed with trying to get all the things that they want that the Salat al-Dhuhr comes in and Salat al-Dhuhr goes out, but they're still in the queue. So now shopping distracted you from that which is far more important. Allah is saying dunya is kind of like that for a lot of people. Yeah? That it distracts you from that which is so much more important. That's the second thing. The third thing, zina. It's a beautification. Beautiful things. Things that attract you. Yes, and things that changes from time to time. In our times, for example, what's very attractive to people is having a big social media presence, isn't it? You know, recently I saw a video, Allah, it disgusted me. Yes, and you know, the amount of things that we see nowadays, it takes a lot to disgust you, isn't it? So I saw a video of some young American brothers, may Allah guide them. They made a video, okay? So there's a lot of planning gone into this, okay? They made a video that they're going to stand as if they are offering salah and making qunut, dua. So that one of the guys, he's standing at the front, the others are behind him. They're all with their hands raised and he's making a dua. He's making a dua in front of the TV. On the TV, there is a game playing. Either it's baseball or it's some kind of American game, I don't know. American football or something, basketball, okay? And he's making a dua. Passionate dua that Allah, please give my team victory and please let them overcome their enemies and please let them win the cup. And he's pretending to cry. And the people behind his friends, they're also crying as well. Pretending that they are in a real Salat al-Witr, making dua to Allah from their hearts. And they're filming it. And they filmed it and they put it on Instagram. Now you have to think to yourself, why did you do that for? Why? What possessed you to do that? They don't realize, but that's what they call istihza. That is kufr. Disbelief in Allah, because you're not mocking another person, you are mocking the religion of Allah, isn't it? You're making a mockery out of the prayer. They don't realize that, obviously. But why do they do it? Why would they go to the extreme of filming something like that and putting it on social media? What motivated them? Huh? Just become more popular, that's it. The likes and the followers and the figures, that is the zina of the eyes today for many people. And they will go to whatever extreme it takes to make sure those digits keep on rolling, isn't it? This is the dunya, Allah says, for a lot of people, zina. Or for other people, it's fashion, cars, you know, holidays, whatever it is, zina. Then Allah says, وَتَفَاخْرٌ بَيْنُكُمْ. It's boasting amongst you. So what do people boast about? People boast about how much money they have, how much family they have. And some people get really good at it. Yeah, they're very good at putting other people down. From تَفَاخْرٌ, the root word is فَخْرٌ, which means pride. So it's not just boasting, it's boasting out pride. Put someone down. So give you an example, two aunties. Sorry to take it to the aunties. But two aunties are talking amongst each other and they're trying to boast about their children. So one auntie says, oh, you know, mashallah, my daughter, they got her married off to a doctor. You know, he's a doctor. Now they're living in a very a posh place. You know, there's a lot of gore there. And they go on holiday every year and they're very happy. What did your daughter get married to again? Truck driver, isn't it? Oh, yeah. May Allah help them. They're going to need a lot of help in their life. What's she saying, man? She is trying to push that lady and her reputation into the ground, isn't she? She's trying to boast. They're doing it in an indirect way. But people do that. Brothers do that. Subhanallah, even amongst religious people, people of knowledge, it happens as well. People put one another down. And that's even worse because you're using Allah's deen to put another person down. Yeah, there's a person, you know, an example is somebody who's very popular. Muslim speaker, very popular. And then some other people are discussing him and saying, yeah, but, you know, he failed some of his exams in uni. Did you know that? When he went to the Jamia, he failed some exams. You know, he didn't get that good a grade as some people think that he got. Now, what's the need to put him down? Now, where did that come from? What's the need to do that? It's just because there's a level of religious pride now. Yes? Which is even worse than regular stuff. All of it is, Allah is saying, all of it is very superficial. Yes, تَفَاخْرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاثْرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. This takathr means just wanting to get more and more and more. Yeah, more and more. And some people, they live just to get more and more and more. Until they realize that, man, even having more is not making me happy. But that's all I know. My whole life has been about trying to get more and more. So, you know, I'll just carry on living my life in the same way. Trying to get more and more and nothing, it's not making me happy. Another meaning of takathr is to try and outdo somebody else. So it's like keeping up with the Joneses. You know, the neighbors, he gets a new car, man, I need to get a new car as well. He gets a Mercedes, man, I got a Mercedes the next day as well. How do you like me now? Yeah, you think you can beat me? You can't beat me. And the thing is, you're dying in because your credit cards are like spiraling out of control and you're like in debt and you're asking your dad to give me some more money, you know. Why? Just so you can get the Mercedes outside and you keep up with this guy. No way can this guy beat me. Okay? And he doesn't even think about you. You know, he sees your Mercedes thing, oh, he's got Mercedes as well. Wow, Mercedes have become really popular around here. He doesn't realize that you're burning inside because he got one and now you had to go get one as well, even though it threw you into, landed you in a major debt. How, and if you really see the reality of what's happening there, you think, man, that's very shallow, very superficial that you're living like that. But people do live like that. People live for that. Forget about living like, they live for that. That's what they live for. You know, go to somebody's house and they redecorated. Wife comes back, says, husband, we need to do our kitchen again. My beloved, we just did it last month. No, we need to do it again. Why do we need to do it again? Yeah, because they did it again. And the one looks much nicer than our one. We can't have that. تَكَاثْرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. In family, and people put each other, you know, mothers put each other down by talking about their children. My beta, mashallah, you know, he's only been doing hifz for 1 year, but he's already managed to memorize half the Quran. Your baby is on kulluhu ala wahad. Yeah. Okay. Inshallah, she'll catch up one day. Auntie, honestly, what is this? And using the Quran as well as a means to put somebody else down. I mean, seriously. So Allah, He highlights to us the reality of this worldly life. For most people, it's a very superficial and shallow affair. Then Allah gives us a parable. It's like this, كَمَثَلْ. It is kind of like the following. It is like غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُهُ ثُمَّ يَهِيجُ فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًّا ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا. Listen to this and see if you can connect the dots. Allah says, it is like غَيْث. غَيْث means rain. The word for rain is matar. غَيْث means fertile rain. It comes down from the sky and it mixes with the soil, and the farmers, which are called kuffar here, And the word kuffar, linguistically, it means someone who, a kafir, someone who covers something up. So a farmer is called a kafir because he takes a seed and he buries it in the soil, thereby covering up. So Allah says the kuffar, the farmers, they become amazed, nabatahu, by the growth that comes out of the ground. If you're a farmer, or you know farmers, you know the feeling here. That you spent so long sowing those seeds and putting fertilizer and making sure that everything is right. And the day that the crops come out is the day that you are delighted. Yes, finally it's here. So Allah said, it is like this, ثُمَّ يَهِيجُ. But those crops and those flowers, يَهِيجُ means that they die. فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرَّ. And then you see them turn yellowish, withering away. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا. And then they become scattered. As if they were never there in the first place. And then Allah says, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. And in the hereafter, there's only two things. فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ. There is either a severe punishment, وَمَغْخِرَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ. Or there is the forgiveness of Allah and His good pleasure. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And the worldly life, or the enjoyment of this worldly life, is nothing but deception. Deception. So let's try and unpack that. How are the two things similar? So the two things that are being compared are the following. Fertile rain and the reaction of the farmers to the growth. Even though after a while all those plants, they die and wither away. And that is being compared to the delusion of this worldly life. Or, more accurately, the way life is so temporary that it comes and it goes, as if it was never here. So tell me, how many ways are the two similar? If you had to compare the two, because this is what the Quran is doing, it's comparing the two, which is the mathal, which I spoke about before, the symbolism, the parable, similitude. There's an analogy here. How are the two things similar? How is this worldly life like those farmers on the field? Yes.
So obviously, like when the crops grow, you're amazed by the beauty of it.
Mm-hmm.
You're praising it and you're praising your own hard work. But when it dies out, you realize. But when it does die out, it's too late at that time to do anything about it.
Okay, so one of the ways it's similar is that people, they become very amazed and obsessed with the world, not realizing that soon that world will leave their fingers. Yes, slip through their fingers. Just like the farmers, when the crops come, they're amazed, as if they don't realize that one day it's all going to go as well. And it does, season after season, it does. Good. Anyone else got any other suggestions? Yes.
When your parents give birth to you, they look after you and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get older, they don't realize that you passed away. Is it that similar?
Say that again. When you're young, your parents are there, they take care of you, and then when you get older,
yeah,
then, and they've passed away?
Yeah. Or the other way around.
Oh, you passed away? Okay.
Is it similar like that in a way?
I don't know, you tell me, is it? Because I'm struggling right now. Think about it a bit more. Yes.
It's a cycle of life. So one thing comes, it grows, it nurtures.
Yep. Okay.
Life is the same thing, it's temporary. If you don't make the most of your life, if you don't commit to your life thereafter, it will just crumble and wither away.
Okay, very good. The cycle of your life is almost like the cycle of these plants. And it's true, isn't it? Especially when you think about youth and old age. Yes, that in the beginning, you're there, present, enjoying every moment. But as soon as the years start to roll by, slowly, slowly, musfarra, you know, the grass gets yellow and your hair gets grey, isn't it? The years go by and then your faculties start to diminish. You're not as sharp as you once were. You know, subhanAllah, just today I got a text message from a friend of mine. He told me that a brother who I used to visit to get hijama and other therapy from him, that just recently he got a problem with his eyesight, and for the last week he's become partially blinded. So I found him and I said to him, you know, what happened? He said, everything was fine. Last week I started to get, one of my eyes started to water a little bit, and then I thought it was nothing. After a few more days, I started to feel like things were a little bit more darker. And then it just got worse and worse. And he goes, now, you know, I can't see much in both my eyes. And he goes, that the doctors, they don't know what it is. They don't know what it is. Yeah, make dua for him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give him shifa. So this is the thing, is you can have a faculty, you know, which is like, is so good as if it would never go. And then all of a sudden, it's like it was never there. Yeah. So one of the analogies, one of the similarities is that Allah describes the rain as ghayth, fertile rain. And in the same way, life can also be of great benefit to the person. However, if he doesn't take advantage of his life, then his life will be against him. Yes? So the dunya in and of itself isn't what's to blame, it's how you treat the dunya. It's how you use the dunya. So the scholars say that you're supposed to use the dunya as a wasila, as a means. And Ibn Uthaymeen, he said that, you know, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ أَوْ عَابِرِ سَبِيلًا. Be in this world as if you're a stranger or someone who's on a journey. Yes? And it's very interesting because a stranger, where the reason he feels like a stranger is because he doesn't feel at home, and because of that he wants to return back. It's like a believer, he doesn't feel at home in this world, he wants to return back to Jannah. So he said that money should be used as a means, not as an end. Because a stranger uses whatever he has, okay, a traveler uses whatever he has to make his journey. In the same way, a human being should use his money to make the journey in life. Not the other way around, where money becomes the goal and end in and of itself. Then he said that today, he said, so he gave the example that the money is supposed to be like the camel that you ride. He goes, today it's the opposite way around. He said, the money has become the rider and you have become the camel. And you are carrying the money around. Because you made money into the end when Allah said to make it into the means. Yes? So, there's a number of, subhanAllah, similitudes in this analogy. And another one of them is to show the deceptive nature of the dunya. That when you see the glitter and the glamour, you think it's here forever. But in reality, the plants are not going to be here forever. So too will the dunya not be here forever as well. And then Allah ends by saying, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ. That if you don't heed to my advice, it's as if Allah is saying, if you don't listen to what I'm saying, and you don't take this advice seriously, then your end will be in the blazing fire. That's your direction that you will head. And that's the fate that you will meet. Or, if you do listen to my advice, then it could be maghfiratum, it could be forgiveness and the good pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way that will happen is when you look at your wealth and every resource Allah has given you in your life as a means to which you will get closer to Allah and achieve His pleasure. Yes? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the mawdi'u sat, that the mawdi'u, the place that you place your whip in Jannah is better than this world and everything inside of it. Yes? The place you put your whip up when you come back home, I don't know from doing what, but you go back home, you put your whip up, that place in your house is better than this dunya and everything inside of it. Yes? The Prophet is inspiring us that don't get bogged down in this dunya, be obsessed with the akhirah. And then Allah says, وَمَا الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ, that the worldly life is nothing but a deceptive type of enjoyment. Do not be deceived. May Allah let us not be deceived from this dunya. May Allah allow us to use the dunya as our means to get closer to Him. Allahumma ameen. Adha wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khairan, barakallahu feekum.